it's just amazing how influenced, manipulated, not controlled, but heavily influenced to put money in the stock market. Like that's the only solution.
Right.
And so put money in a bank, go get a car loan, get a mortgage loan. And so there's really not much psychological resistance when you, you know, it makes sense for a client to get an IRA or a Roth IRA or invest. Right. There's really no resistance to it. But when you introduce a product that there's not much education on and a lot of BS on the internet, it's a process. It takes time. And there's delayed gratification. I mean, when you stuff money into a bank account making, well, 0%, I mean, it makes 0%. I mean, when you initially structure Bank of Sora, we're thinking 10 years out. I mean, you're not going to see an incredible amount of liquidity the first few years. That's a pain point. It was a pain point for me.
Sure.
9.5 years ago. But I realized that, holy cow, whether I like it or not, 10 years from now, if I'm still alive, a Bank of Sora, I'm going to want a savings strategy on steroids. I'm going to want a powerful tax shelter. I'm going to want all my money growing income tax free.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy B., here with me today.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
I am doing awesome. And how are you, Tammy B.?
Excellent, thank you. I love the pause right before you said awesome. I am awesome. I mean, there's legitimate research out there about how what we say, even if it's not true, if what we say actually can orient our brain differently, it's very powerful. So I love that you chose to say that you're awesome.
Yeah, I'm awesome. And I've talked about this a long time ago on an episode, I am sure, where my daughter, when she was way younger, we go to the grocery store. And I take Maximus with me. It's the only way you can get me into a grocery store is I got to find a way to make it fun. I hate hunting for things. I hate going to a grocery store. I hate shopping. I'm a big baby about, except when it's motorcycles and cars and boats and things that are built and designed in houses. I love all that. I'll shop all day long looking at that stuff. I just won't buy because I'll just start admitting it. I'm cheap. I'm saying I'm frugal. Oh, it's so not true because wait till you see the oven I just bought my wife because I'm a sucker. And this Friday, I won't buy it forever, but it's like, geez, Louise, we've had this house for 7 years. I mean, how many more BS excuses? Oh, I'll be dead before I fulfill commitments to my wife. So she's got this bad boy, beautiful oven coming in on Friday.
Yay. So
can't just get the normal ones. Cause if I'm going to go pull the trigger, I just like the really cool stuff. Yep. And thank God for my Bank of Sorai and everything else and doing everything I've been preaching for the last 10 years. We wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
And guess what? Not chasing crazy rates of return and not being real aggressive with investments, just being very consistent, creating incredible amount of momentum. And we've got all these other episodes that explain and talk about different topics of what I do. And I ask listeners to do, and I ask clients I work with one-on-one to do. And, but anyway, we're at the grocery store and this happened all the time. And finally, Lauren asked me, so, hey, Ken, when they ask you how you are, why did you say hello and hi? Why do you never answer the question? And this came from Europeans that has roommates, like from Eastern Europe, et cetera. To them, that was like a rude question. It's like, what do you mean? How am I? That's none of your business.
Oh, so
I really embraced that in college. Like, that's right. It is none of your business. When they ask me, why are you getting all personal? I don't know you.
Right.
Why are you asking me how I am?
Right.
But what I've also learned, so that's what I explained to her. It's like, it's none of their business how I am.
Yeah.
So what, I'm in a pissed off mood. I tell them I'm pissed off. So I would just answer hi. Oh, hello.
Right.
Or good afternoon. And what was really fun though, is you can tell who's sincere with that question or who's listening.
Oh, totally.
I love it when salespeople call my office all the time, soliciting something or marketing people. And they'll say, hi, Kenneth. And I'll answer the phone. Hi, this is Ken.
Oh.
Hey, Kenneth. Well, they just heard, I just answer how I want to be spoken to.
Of course.
And they say, Kenneth. So right there off the bat, they don't listen. That ended the relationship, most likely. Not actually 100% of the time. I already know what that person's about.
Yeah, exactly.
That right there, not a good listener. And, maybe there's some nervousness or something. So that's not fair. But I don't think that's ever moved forward. And then number two, when they ask me how I am, oh, hi, how are you today? Hi, it's nice to meet you. Good, good. Good, good. I didn't answer your question. dork. So, I mean, anyway, geez Louise. Yeah, so I'm awesome. But that's like strike two. They're not listening and they don't care. That's all superficial, right, vapid crap. Go away. Right. I like real, serious conversations. I like people of integrity. I like transparency. And if it's just a bunch of fluff and you're going to say stuff because it sounds right, now you listen to the answer, go away.
Absolutely.
Someone else's time who likes that vapid crap.
That's right.
That's how I am. I am awesome, Tammy.
No, I know you are.
So we can have a couple topics and we're going to keep this episode short today. It's very interesting. I absolutely love doing the show. I love what I do. I say yes to too many people at times, but I love helping. And boy, have I created a lot of work that I love doing. I just hate feeling behind. And so we're doing a short show today.
Okay.
And, but I'm so grateful for everything. And I would guess like to truly answer the question is I cannot believe it's April.
Oh, right.
I really feel like it still should be January of 2020.
Yeah, right.
And so that's probably one of my biggest things is like, how do I stop folding time and fold productivity? And so once I have that solution, I'll patent it and share it with the world.
Nice. Thank you.
So how in the world can you fold productivity? Because the time is one, it's just, you can never give people back their time. You can get dollars back for people, money back for people, things of that nature. And, but you can't get back time. And so I would say, truly, the only thing that's frustrating me is I just want to perform and do more for myself, for my family, for my clients, for the show, all these things that I want to come to fruition. I wanted to happen, last year for everyone. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's already April of 2021. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so that's probably the only thing that's like trying to figure out that one.
Yeah, so I understand.
If I hear that one, that'd be great. And so that's how I am. I'm awesome. And boy, this is going to be a really short show. Yeah. So there's two topics. There's one you might want to talk about, but maybe we'll share it for an episode, but it could be short. You're telling me about a book you've been reading. Tell me about the book, Tammy. And I'll tell you what I was thinking. Well, I'll tell you what I was thinking about talking about.
Yeah.
I recently had John Schaub on. So grateful for coming on the show. I mean, I'm grateful for a lot of the guests have been coming on and there's going to be a lot more. I think they have an incredible amount of, I really appreciate having guests come on that have done it. And they're asking clients to do what they've done.
Right.
And they lead through example and that kind of mentorship.
Right. Right? Yep.
And I think it's great. Right. And so, and John has been through it. And when he's seen a lot over the last 50 years. And so what's great and the systems that have been placed in those processes are not that complicated. They're pretty simple. It's just going out and do it. And then the test is easy once you know the answers.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for all the people coming on the show. But then also what I really love about real estate and how it all ties together is, so I was going to talk about those pieces and continue with systems and automation.
Okay.
Is I was going to talk about that, but we'll save it for another day. And that was just how the Bankosaurus feeds into these real estate vehicles.
Oh, nice.
It has enabled my clients. He mentioned in that show, I can't remember what episode, it was just a few episodes ago. He was talking about how he still gets phenomenal deals because he can close in a week.
Right. Yep.
And a lot of these things aren't on a market. There's people who have an immediate need. They have to move. It could be a medical reason, whatever. And these are win-win situations because there's no other buyer on the market that can fulfill that demand. He can. And others that he has mentored and other clients of mine that have similar mindsets, they can. And what's been very powerful for the clients I represent over the last, almost 10 years now. I've been in this industry since end of 2008, have been a huge proponent teaching about correctly using and implementing and designing dividend paying whole life insurance policies. I call it the Bankosaurus. I'm looking at him on the wall in my office and studio right now. He just makes me smile because that has enabled so many of my clients, my family, to do a lot more with a saving strategy on steroids. That's all the Bankosaurus is. And what's great about real estate is all the numerous benefits you're getting with $1.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have incredible amount of liquidity, and it could be under your mattress, it could be in a savings account. I just prefer on a long-term thinking, the Bankosaurus, because it just feeds, you access that money within a week typically. And I mean, at the most 2 weeks, if you try to do things snail mail now, because USPS has just been horrendous over this last year and a half. You know, mail's been just crazy.
Yeah.
And so, but if you ask for your money to be electronically deposited from like the mutual life carriers I work with, I mean, you see that money within 3 to 5 business days. You can close on an incredible amount of real estate transactions. It's such a fun process. You pick up the phone, say, I want my money. It shows up and you close on deals.
Right. You've got cash.
And that's how you can get things at 50%, 40%, 30% discounts in a seller's market. Because you're not dependent upon FHA and Fannie Mae and all this other crap, government-backed loan. And I'm not, hey, I have a conventional loan through that process, so I'm not poo-pooing it. But geez Louise, it's a painful process.
Right.
And there's some phenomenal realtors out there, and there's a lot of that aren't so phenomenal. When you try to get these loans and you do these real estate contracts, I mean, these are 30 pages at least of documents, and 2 pages are about you and the seller. You as a buyer and the seller, and the other 28 pages are about covering the realtor and the broker's butt, not about their clients, about protecting themselves.
Right.
And I get it because it's such a regulated environment. I know why they have to do it. But between title, I mean, all this stuff adds up, and now it's taking 2 months to close on a deal. But if you have cash ready, you can access it through the cash value in these policies. I call it my bank of sources, and you can just pull money quickly and close on phenomenal deals. And what I loved about John being on the show a couple of weeks ago is, oh, hey, Ken, I mean, if you got, you know, I close in a week.
Yeah. Right?
I know it. It's not that simple a process. I've been in the industry for long enough. I know what to look for in real estate, if it's a good property or not. Go find it.
Yeah. Right.
Gosh, man. I mean, that's such a simple statement. And boy, has my brain been running with that.
I bet. And
I've watched my clients do it over and over and over again. And when you have liquidity and you have money available and you've got a whole bunch of money that your bank of source is protecting and running around with, or just kind of moping around with, he can move fast if he wants to. And real estate, great tax shelter, bank of source, incredible tax shelter.
Yeah.
And when you move money through these things, for a lot of families that really need help, it's not the perfect fit for every family, but a lot of them, is a really strong foundation to start at. Now, the hesitancy I've seen with people, and it can, and I get hear it all the time. It's like, gosh, man, how come no other advisor has shown me this? It's because it takes time. It's hard. When you went to go open up a bank account, Tammy, how many questions did you ask that bank about, you know, how the bank makes money? Can it lose money? Did you ask them any questions when you open up an account?
Not many. I checked the brochure and stuff like that and did a little comparison, but not a ton.
But what I just want to do some fun stuff on is like, I'll tell you the hesitancy for a lot of people. I see it consistently. A, why isn't the show? Because a lot of work. It takes time. We're brainwashed from birth. We come out of the womb knowing to get a 401k and IRA.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just amazing how influenced, manipulated, not controlled, but heavily influenced to put money in the stock market. Like that's the only solution.
Right.
And so put money in a bank, go get a car loan, get a mortgage loan. And so there's really not much psychological resistance when you know, it makes sense for a client to get an IRA or a Roth IRA or invest. Right. There's really no resistance to it. But when you introduce a product that there's not much education on and a lot of BS on the internet, it's a process. It takes time and there's delayed gratification. I mean, when you stuff money into a bank account making, well, 0%, I mean, it makes 0%. I mean, when you initially structure Bank of Soray, we're thinking 10 years out. I mean, you're not going to see an incredible amount of liquidity the first few years. That's a pain point. It was a pain point for me.
Sure.
9.5 years ago. But I realized that, holy cow, whether I like it or not, 10 years from now, if I'm still alive, a Bank of Soray, I'm going to want a savings strategy on steroids. I'm going to want a powerful tax shelter. I'm going to want all my growing income tax free. I want powerful credit protection. And so what's so fascinating, and this ties to real estate, and we'll wrap it up, is Shab, when he's talking about real estate, I mean, he didn't talk about it in this episode, but at workshops, you're doing things right. You're making good double-digit returns, investments. And when you look at the opportunity cost, being able to reduce taxation substantially, you can own a fair amount of real estate and not pay income taxes for a long, long time because of the way the codes are structured. Yeah. Same thing with the Bank of Soros.
Right.
When you do this right, it's not an investment strategy. It's a very powerful savings strategy where you have an incredible amount of liquidity. You've got control of the money. You can use it anytime you want. And you got all this equity building up over time, just like real estate, buying one house at a time. It takes time to build this wealth. But if you're 10 years older, you're 20 years older, you're 30 years older, 5 years older, you're going to be so happy high-fiving yourself if you put these things into place.
Right.
Because it becomes unreal. The amount of momentum, the amount of wealth, and the amount of tax savings that you can create all within all the rules. And so that was the topic, you know, how the bankosaurus, the real estate, it's this wealth in motion. You got a huge amount of momentum and it, and with very little risk, if you do things right, very little risk in real estate. I would argue no risk with the bankosaurus and how they just feed each other and feed each other, use the liquidity to buy these real estate, use the cash flow to feed back into your bankosauruses. And you're just building this huge foundation, right, on steroids, and it creates incredible momentum. And then you start having all these other investment opportunities to start diversifying into.
Right.
And so that was it, you know, how real estate and bankosaurus work hand in hand. And that's what we'll talk about next week's episode. And I can dive more into it, but that's good for today.
Okay.
And next week, we'll dive into the stuff you like talking about, Tammy. Or something else if I change my mind on that.
That's right.
And great, nice short episode. I hope there's value for people on that. And any questions on anything, please don't hesitate to go to my website, engineerofinance.com. There's a lot of fun things I've wanted to announce. It just hasn't come to fruition yet. It is so super close.
Yay.
And I will let you wrap it up, Tammy B.
Okay. If anyone's interested in the two John Schaub episodes, the first one is episode 85. The second one is episode 167. As Ken said, that was just a couple of weeks ago. One of the things I really enjoy about your podcast is that you bring in these other experts, like you say, who have done it themselves. And now they're coaching other people just to follow in their footsteps. And it makes sense to me that you like having those guests on because that's what you do. That's exactly what you do. If anybody ever wonders, you know, why Ken talks about bankosauri with such passion and conviction, it's because he's been using them himself. And he sees, when he says that he would argue that they are risk-free, it's because he's experienced that. And not only with himself, but with clients as well. Who would you rather have on your side, guiding you to these ways to achieve things that you never thought were possible in your life and in your family's lives, than someone who has done it themselves? So not only Ken, but all the experts that he has on the show, including John Schaub.
Thank you, Tammy. You're awesome. Thank you to all listeners of the show. I love what I do. I love doing this podcast. And I look forward to next week's episode. Thanks, everyone.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.